Friends, will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your spirit. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I was in New York City last weekend. And if you've known me for any length of time, you know that my favorite thing about New York City is how glad it makes me that I live in Boston. That city ruined Johnny Damon, and that is a harm only God can repair. Now, I'm mostly kidding when I say that, but truly the pace, the density, the pinstripes of New York, they're not my style. Give me Minutemen and Hoodsy Cups and a love for Jason Baratek that passes understanding, or give me nothing. I go to New York to meet my best friend. I go to New York for the art. The Met, the MoMA, Broadway. Art that refreshes and renews, art that challenges us to think in new ways and wrestle with what we say we believe. That and Jenny are worth all the traffic in the world to me. And so that is how I found myself last Friday night, weeping silently through a Broadway production of Water for Elephants, because it made me think about so many people I love. Musicals use music because the feelings they want to express are too big for words. They need more than prose. More than poetry. They need words, chords that resonate inside our lungs, tones that make us tremble, notes that evoke the kind of compassion that is suffering with. Experiences beyond what English can do on its own. English is insufficient for so many things. Words run out before we really get to any of the good stuff. The self, the other, God, love. The Trinity is like that. We could sit for hours with the shield of the Trinity and the Athanasian Creed, reaming off sentences about how God is the Holy Spirit, but the Father is not the Son, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit, and the Son is not the Father, but the Son is not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is God. And we pretty much wouldn't have said anything, because trying to pin the Trinity down with words is like grasping after wind. What is not grasping after wind is knowing that God is bigger than any language about God, that the one we call the triune God is always in relationships, and that those relationships are animated by love. What is not grasping after wind is the claim that we have access to that love through the Holy Spirit. What is not grasping after wind is the claim that love is the best thing we do. But we are people of the book, and we are creatures with, according to the National Academy of Science, remarkably but not extraordinarily large brains for our size. And so we keep going after words, signs and signifiers as we try to express what we feel when we hear a chord play, or sense the presence of divine in community, or love a human across time and space and state lines. Sometimes when we do that, we turn to New Testament Greek. We turn to Koinonia, to Paul writing to the church in Philippi about love that outdoes itself, love that produces a community operating with humility in full accord, love that regards others as better than oneself and seeks another's good above one's own. Koinonia. In a straightforward kind of way, koinonia means fellowship. It means to have in common or to share. But we are dealing with Paul, And so we know that it means much more than that, too. Koinonia is a kind of fellowship expressed when we take communion together. It is the kind of community that binds us in relationship to Christ and to one another. And it is the kind of love that compels Christians to hold all things in common and share our worldly goods. Koinonia is love expressed in community. It is love as the best thing we do. In our passage today, Paul is coming close to the end of what many theologians think is best described as a friendship letter. Philippians fits an ancient form. You express longing for the recipient, you update the reader on your affairs, you express concern for their affairs, and then you end with the hope that you stay friends. Paul adds koinonia to the form, celebrating God's work through community. In our passage today, Paul is at the part of the letter right before the conclusion. He's in the "I care about your affairs" part. And the thing he cares about is a conflict among his leaders. He's writing to people who are not in the same mind in the Lord. Euodia and Syntyche are in some kind of conflict. And we have to imagine it is not a small conflict if it has lasted long enough for Epaphroditus to bring a letter to Paul from the church in Philippi, and then to get sick almost to the point of death, and then to recover, and then to travel back to Philippi. This has to be a real disagreement. Euodia and Syntyche worked alongside Paul. They likely helped build the church. So this isn't just anybody disagreeing. This is leaders disagreeing. People who love each other disagreeing. People look up to disagreeing. Even describing it makes me feel a little tense. Like a discordant chord or a minor key on a sunny day, it's jarring to think about. But Paul isn't worried. Almost his very next words are to tell his community not to worry about anything, but to be gentle and to pray and to rejoice in the Lord always. Paul's words are the opposite of tense and jarring. Paul is not afraid. And so we are left to conclude that their long, deep, meaningful disagreement does not disrupt the community's koinonia, does not break their animating bonds of love. We've seen Paul take communities to task for their conflicts. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. We know that he is not scared to tell a community when they are in trouble, or when factions are threatening to rip a community apart, or when sin is driving dangerous or exploitative behavior. We know that he knows how to do that. But this is a friendship letter. A letter that stands out among the Pauline epistles for its joyful tone. And so we have to wonder if love in action, if koinonia, is big enough for Euodia and Syntyche to disagree. If agreement in all things is the cost of entry for love, the price of koinonia or the fee for Christian community, then pretty soon we are left with a fellowship of one. And not one in a three-in-one trinity kind of way, one in the you're left by yourself kind of way. Humans in their full diversity and not in their full sameness are made in the image of God. And so disagreement, even big, long, painful disagreement, has to be part of Christian community, has to be part of love. Koinonia has to be big enough for us to disagree and stay in loving relationship. I was in New York last week weeping over musicals with my best friend, Jen. And she and I are so similar that people regularly think that we are sisters. And even we disagree. Last weekend, we disagreed over taking a nap or going to see The Notebook. And so I took a nap, and she went to see The Notebook. But we disagree about big things, too. I think she disagrees that it's a great idea that I live 500 miles away from her and her family. But Koinonia is big enough. She loves me, and so she cheers me on. And her friends send me mail, and I make half a friendship bracelet and put it in a card so her daughter and I can still do crafts together. And we grieve the moments I miss, and we celebrate the time we have. You can have big disagreements and have bigger love. God has big disagreements. The Trinity is not always perfectly attuned. In the garden, Jesus throws himself on the ground and prays that his Father might let the cup pass from him. And I can't quite grasp or describe or use words to say the love that leaves him saying, "Yet not what I want, but what you want." Words run out before we get to any of the really good stuff. The self, the other, love, God. Koinonia tries. Love in a different language, love that outdoes itself, love that lets us eat at table together. Love that seeks another's good above one's own. Love big enough for disagreements. Love animating relationships. Koinonia tries, but it will never be sufficient, because words alone aren't sufficient for love. Words end up grasping after wind. What is not grasping after wind is knowing that God is bigger than any language about God. Knowing that we have access to a love we can't describe with words through the Holy Spirit. And knowing that love is the best thing we do. Amen.